we're going to be all over the Bible this morning, so I don't even know where to tell you to turn. You can just wait a minute and I'll share a few different things with you, but we're going to talk about heroes of faith. Really, the idea often comes out of Hebrews chapter 11, but I'm not going to use all the people out of Hebrews chapter 11 in this series. I'll just pick out some people out of the Bible that I look at and think, man, these are the ones that we need to look at. When you think about examples in your life, have you ever told someone in your life, maybe one of your children, you know what, I would like for you to behave like or act like or be like this person. Make choices like this person has made in their life. Treat people the way this person does. I would like for you to be like that. Maybe sometime in your life you've looked at people and thought, they're heroes. You have a hero in your life. We have all the superheroes, and as kids we want to be like Superman and put a cape on. Or we want to be one of those. Of course, I always liked the Hulk, because he liked to pound on things, and that was cool. That would be a cool thing to be, like the Hulk. At least that strong, maybe not so green. But heroes, what do heroes do? When you think about it, you want to be like that, and you want to do those. You know, heroes, I think, very simply, heroes make us want to be better. Heroes make us want to do things that maybe we can't do. Maybe it's something like, well, I can't lift this, and if I were strong like my hero, I could lift that. Or I could fly across the sky. I could get from here to there very quickly. Or something along those lines. But they want us, they make us or help us want to be better than who we are. And so I look at heroes of faith. And I think about, as a Christian, we look at people and we think, man, I would really like to be more like that person. Why? And I think about Abraham. And I know that we've talked about Abraham. You've studied Abraham. If you've been in the church anywhere in this world, you've talked about Abraham. Even Muslim faith in the Quran, Abraham is taught. Abraham is a character, a name that is known all across the world. From just about any religion you want to study, Abraham's name is known. And so I'm looking at Abraham and I'm thinking, you know, we've heard these stories about Abraham our whole life. What is it that we can talk about? Well, hopefully there's always something that we can look and gain as we look at his life. So I'm going to look at a few things, maybe a little bit differently than we've looked at them before. And I am trying to watch the clock this morning. Because, you know, Abraham, we could just start talking about Abraham and not even look at any notes, and we could talk until midnight Friday night and never cover the same thing. There are a ton of things about Abraham's life that we could discuss and talk about. But I just want to share a few things with you. Here's a little bit of trivia. I don't know, maybe you know this, some of you probably do, but as the reading was just Ed just did for us, Abraham's name was changed from Abram, from exalted father to Abraham, who is a father of multitudes. What does name mean? Abraham lived 175 years, and his son Isaac wasn't born until he was 100 years old. I don't know what you think about that. Those of you who are a little bit older, what would you think about starting your life with children at the age of 100? No, I'm getting a lot of looks like, no, I couldn't do that. So he started a lot later. Abraham is mentioned in 16 Old Testament books and 11 New Testament books. 27 of the books in the Bible, Abraham is talked about. You have any idea how many times Abraham's name is mentioned in the Bible? I had no idea. I was thinking, well, man, it's in there a lot. 50, 60 times? 100 times? 200 times? You know, his name is mentioned 307 times in the Bible. 307 times Abraham's name is mentioned in the Bible. I think that if your name is mentioned that many times, God had a plan for you, And God says, there's some things you can learn from this person's life. Abraham. I'll share a few references with you about Abraham. One of the things in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7 says, did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of... Now listen what is said. And give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend. Abraham is mentioned a few different times in the Bible as the friend of God. Now what a title, what a way to refer to someone. I would hope that, man, I would give anything for me to be called a friend of God. 2 Chronicles says it. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8, it says, but you, God, you, Israel, my servant, descendant of, guess what? Abraham, my friend. Now he's talking to his people and he says, now you've descended from Abraham. Now it's not just Abraham is such a great person. We look back into history and we understand God started this relationship with him in Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 12. He talks to him and he says, I'm going to bless all the people in the world through your seed. You're going to be a father of many nations. You're going to be a father of people all over this world. And this is what he's saying through Isaiah, telling the people, you are Israel, my servant, descendants of my friend, Abraham. In James chapter 2 and verse 23, turn over there real quick. We'll look at this. In James chapter 2, this is that section of Scripture where he's talking about faith and works. And he's saying that, you know, some people say, well, I just believe faith is all that you need. And others say, well, no, you got to have works. And he's, no, it's not right. We need to put these things together. And so in this passage, he's talking about how those things work together. And he says in verse 23, and he says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called... what? The friend of God. And he's talking about Abraham, and he's saying, did Abraham faith? Absolutely. He was a hero of faith, but he also worked. Think about all of the things that God called from him and said, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. This is where I need you to go. These are the things that I need you to do with your life. And Abraham did those things. That's why James is pulling on that. That's why James is talking about Abraham. Abraham, friend of God. He's also referred to as the father of the Hebrew people. And Isaiah 51 in verses 1 and 2 says, while he's addressing Israel again, he says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to Abraham, your father. Now, once again, we're not talking about Abraham is God the Father. We're not talking about anything like that. But here's a reference. People, the Israelite people would look back in their lineage. They wanted to be able to trace their lineage back to Abraham. Abraham was their father. Our teenagers, for many years, we sing a song, Father Abraham. And we're not going to do it this morning because it's like a BBS kind of song. Father Abraham, even now, thousands of years later, and people are still singing about the faith of Abraham and what he meant to us, to the people then and to us as well. In Luke chapter 1, Zechariah is praying immediately after naming his son, and he talks about the father, the history of this father of the Hebrew people. He mentions again Abraham. In John chapter 8 and verse 53 and 56, while in conversation with the Jews, the Lord said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Once again, your father Abraham. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 9 and following, Paul, speaking of great faith which led to the righteousness of Abraham, said, the faith, Paul said, of our father Abraham, which he had before circumcision. And it's interesting that so many times these different phrases or titles or references to Abraham or to other people, so we look at this. He's a friend of God. He's a father of the Hebrew people. And now this next one in Luke chapter 16. We know this, but this story in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus. Now I want you to think about this. The rich man and Lazarus have lived their life and they both pass physically into that next life, from death into eternity. And it says that the rich man is there and he's in torment. And he looks up and he sees Lazarus across being comforted in Abraham's bosom. Now I think it's interesting that Luke records this and says it this way, because we're looking at someone who's in eternity, who's being comforted by God, and the reference made is Abraham's bosom. He's being taken care of by Father Abraham, by the friend of God. And this reference, the bosom of Abraham, now I know that that's not heaven. I know that that's not what he's talking about. But it's just interesting that Luke would choose, through divine inspiration, that he would use a phrase like this to say, someone's being comforted. They've already gone into eternity. They know where they're spending eternity because they're already being taken care of by God. Comfort. Now, these things in and of themselves don't make for a great example of faith necessarily, but they help us realize a little bit about this man that we're going to look at, the esteem he held, especially by God's people. But what I think is really important about Abraham is let's look for just a moment at his influence. Now, he was mentioned over and over, like we said, 307 times. He's called the friend of God. He's called the father of the Hebrew people, or God's people. All of those things. See, people look to him. People talk about him. All the different books in the Bible. But then you think about his influence. What influence has he had? Or is he still having? In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing. And you know he's in the river and he's baptizing people and he's talking about a baptism of repentance, of changing your lifestyle. You need to change who you are. You need to quit acting like you're acting and get ready. Now, he's not baptizing to put people in Christ because the church hasn't been established. The Lord hasn't given his life yet. We know that. We understand that. But this baptism of repentance is one for people to stop and look at and say, you know what? My life is not right. I need to change some of the attitudes. That's what the Lord has taught from the beginning of time. I'm going to change my attitude. And so John is baptizing with a repentance, baptism of repentance, and he looks up and some of these Pharisaical people are coming to him and he looks at them and he calls them, "You brood of vipers. Why are you here? Why are you here to be baptized? With this baptism of repentance. Let me tell you something. What you need to do, what you really need to do with your life, is you need to repent and bear fruit worthy of keeping with repentance." Now that's what he tells those people. You need to think about what you're doing. Don't come out here and do this for a sign. Don't come out and do those things. But as he's teaching them this really important truth, then he stops and he warns them. And he says, "Don't you dare call on Abraham as your father. Don't do that. Don't you call on Abraham in verses 7, 8, and 9. Don't call on Abraham and say, he's our father, and somehow because you have Abraham as your father, everything's all right in your life. You can act any way that you want to act." He says, "Don't you do it. Because let me tell you something. God can raise up children to Abraham out of these stones on the ground. Don't call on Abraham." What an influence. Now think about this. Now, John is teaching such an important thing to these people. And he uses Abraham as a reference to get this truth across. the influence that he had. Think about Jesus. Look over at John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, I'm going to skip down a ways, down to verse 39. But Jesus is saying, he says, if you continue in my word, and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now this is that passage he's talking about, this whole section in chapter 8 here, and the truth. He's talking to them about the truth. Set you free. And they argue with him, before we get to verse 39, this argument that they're having with Jesus, they say, well, no, wait a minute, Jesus, we've never been slaves. What are you talking about? We haven't been slaves. What do we need to be freed from? And then Jesus talking in verse 39, he says, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, then what? Do the deed of Abraham. Live like Abraham. Don't tell me, don't tell anyone that you're Abraham's descendant. Don't tell me that you have all these blessings because of Abraham, and then don't live like it. What did Abraham tell you to do? What example did Abraham give you? Now Jesus is teaching them, alright, you brought up Abraham. You're the one who brought him up. Well, let me just share a little bit with you about Abraham. You can't say you're his child, he's your father, and not live like you're his child. Don't do it. He can't do it. He's not going to claim you. But even more importantly than that, he'll say in verses 56, he says, your father Abraham, what? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. How great was the influence Abraham had. What an awesome teaching moment that the Lord had when he had all of this, all these people, and he's talking to them, and Abraham is the discussion, and they're talking about truth and faith and all of these things that God, that the Lord is talking about. But he says, you know what? Before Abraham was ever born, I am. And if you understand what he's telling those people and what they would understand, he said, I'm God. I'm the Eternal One. I've always been. I am. They knew exactly what he was saying. He said, I am the creator of this universe. I am the creator of everything that you know that exists. I am the God that you've already said that you are a follower of his, that he's actually your father, is what they said back in verse 41. This is our real father when Jesus brought it up. God is our only father. But he says, I am that one. I am the Holy One. I am the Eternal One, is what he just said to them. The influence of Abraham, and these people wanted him to trace him, wanted him to say, he's our father. And Jesus said, well, let me just trump that just a little bit. God is a father, but I am one with the Father. Influence. Abraham has had it. Peter twice mentions Abraham in Acts chapter 3. Stephen, in his defense, Stephen becomes a Christian and he's up and he's teaching and he's preaching, and before he is stoned, in the whole chapter 7 in the book of Acts, you remember he's arguing and talking about what Christianity is all about. Five times in that text, Stephen mentions Abraham. In his argument to the people who are not believing and don't know what to even believe, and Stephen is telling them how to believe in Jesus Christ, and to get them to Jesus, he talks about Abraham. Five times. Paul spoke of Abraham in his first recorded sermon in Acts chapter 13, and then a number of times in Galatians and Romans. Ten times Abraham is mentioned in people's prayers in the Bible. Jacob mentions him in Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 and following. Moses mentions Abraham in his prayer in Exodus chapter 32. David mentions him in 1 Chronicles 16. Elijah mentions him in 1 Kings 18 and 37. He says, I want to share this one. This is one of my favorite passages. Elijah's at Mount Carmel, and he's looking at it. You know, we know that story. He's called on all those prophets of Baal to come out and challenges them. All right, you set up your altar and your sacrifice, and you call on your God to come down and take that sacrifice. And when you're all finished, I'm going to set up a sacrifice over here, and I'm going to call on the God, the one God, and have Him come down and take care of this sacrifice. And Elijah begins praying when it's his turn. And in verse 36, he says, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham. He's drawn on history. He's drawn on something that the people understand. And they look back and they go, Abraham, and they know Isaac, and they know Israel. And that's what he says, the Lord of God, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are the God of Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all the things at your word. He's trying to turn the people's heart back, and he mentions in his prayer, Abraham. Abraham, over and over again. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. The Levites during the time of Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 9. Micah in chapter 7. Mary even draws, when she's praying in Luke chapter 1 and Zechariah in chapter 1, the end of that chapter. All of them mention Abraham in their prayers. Drawing on something that they knew. Drawing on a history that had been given to them. Drawing on a relationship that had been handed down to them for their whole life. Their parents, or their grandparents and great-grandparents are teaching them the stories of faith. Teaching them the stories of those people who handed down their faith through all those generations. And Abraham was always there. What a powerful person in history. What an influential man that we can learn from. And I don't know if hero is a good word to describe him or not. But I know this. When we think about a hero, someone who makes us want to be better, what person could we mention that would make us want to be better other than Christ Himself? What other character would we name? Hero of faith. Well, what about it for us today? What does it have to do with us today? Well, all of those things we look at and we see, but one of the things that I learned from Abraham is this. He was not a perfect man. He was not perfect. He made a lot of mistakes in his life. You know, he lied about his wife twice. Said, well, she's my sister. And got everyone in a lot of trouble. Not only himself, but even the king, he got in trouble because he wasn't telling the truth. And when you do those things, it has a tendency to come back on you, even with the next generation, just like it did with his own son, who followed in his footsteps and did the same thing. Abraham wasn't a perfect person. And we learn from that life. We learn that he was not, when he did something wrong, he went to God and said, I blew it. And he changed. That's the next thing I learned from Abraham's life. True conversion. True conversion will always change a person. There are a lot of people who say, I want to become a Christian, and never want to change who they are. I want to keep living the same life I've always lived. I just want all those blessings. I want all that riches. I want to believe all those TV preachers that say, God wants you to be rich. And if you're faithful, God is going to bless you and you're going to be rich beyond any belief. Well, I don't want to believe that because I must not be very faithful. And not that we're in a poor house or anything like that, but if we believe those kinds of things, no. Conversion will change who we are. That's what John the Baptist was trying to say when he's talking to all those Pharisees and all those people coming out there. When he called them, you brood of vipers. You brood of vipers. You need to start bearing fruit worthy of your repentance. You need to change your life. You need to quit acting like you're acting and become the man God wants you, or the woman that God wants you to be. The woman and the man that God actually created you to be, that's who you need to start being. And we look at this life and we see Abraham messed up, but you know what? He was changed. And when he messed up, he accounted for it. And he changed that the next time, and he didn't do it again. And he acknowledged that God was his standard. And as Christians, that's what we do. We acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the standard of our life. And we change. That's the lessons we need to learn. Faith will always be evidenced by following God's plan. How many times would Abraham have wanted to change the thing God called him to do? But he didn't. My faith, or lack thereof, can dramatically affect the faith of those around me as well. One more lesson that we learn from Abraham's life. What is God calling you to do? What life has God called you to live? What kind of an example has God called for you to set to those people in your life? And you don't. A lot of times we don't think about the influence that we have on those around us. Believe me, you're having an influence on people around you, whether you want to or not. Famous people say it all the time. I'm not here to raise your children. Athletes say that. Don't let them put me up as a hero or whatever. I don't want that. I'm just playing the game. Well, sorry, guess what? Kids are going to look up to you. Kids are going to want to be like you. And it's the same thing in our life. People are always looking at us, and when they see us do things, they want to be and do the same kinds of things. We can dramatically affect the lives of those around us. Heroes. I don't know that I would say I want to be a hero, but I would like to be a little bit like Abraham. In the fact that people could point to him and say, I want to be better because I look at his life. I want to be better than who I am. Man, what a testament if we could live that life. If God has called us, as God calls us, if we would answer that call and become the man or the woman that He's called us to be, we could have the same kind of influence. We could be the same kind of people that Abraham was. And hopefully you're striving towards that end. In Galatians chapter 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, and verses 28 and 29, talking about Abraham's faith. His faith was in God. His faith was in the Messiah. And it would come to save all the people. That's what Paul's writing. All those years earlier in Genesis chapter 12, when he said, through you all the nations will be blessed, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Abraham's life was an example for us, leading us to Jesus Christ. That's what we take away from this. All the lessons that we learned in Abraham's life were fulfilled. The promises were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And He is ours today. And I love the end of that in verses 28 and 29, because He says, everyone who belongs to Christ, everyone who belongs to Christ is a descendant of Abraham. God is faithful. God has brought us to where we are today. He promised all of those blessings in Abraham thousands of years ago, brought it about in Jesus Christ at the cross, and has offered it to us today. What kind of life can we live? What kind of influence can we have? What kind of hero can you become to those around you? Maybe you won't be written about. Maybe your name won't be mentioned 300 times in a book that survived for thousands of years. Maybe in 50 years or 100 years from now, no one will even remember your name. But the influence that you will have right now will carry on forever, if you want it to. What kind of hero will we be? What kind of faith will we have? Do we want to follow in the footsteps of Abraham? Live the life that he lived, the call that God called him and said, Abraham, I need you to be faithful and listen to me. I need you to go where I'm leading you. And sometimes we may not know where God's leading us.
Maybe you have some decisions in your life right now. Maybe God, maybe there are people asking you, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's somewhere you're thinking about moving somewhere else. Maybe there's a million different scenarios. Have you stopped yet and said, what is it that God is actually calling me to do? Is God involved in this? Where's your faith this morning? Abraham is a great hero, but he's not God. He can't save you. Only the Lord can do that. And that's where we've got to put our faith and our confidence, is in Him. Are you ready to have that kind of faith in your life? Put your trust, your eternal destiny in Him. That's what He wants. That's why He gave His life for us. He said, I want you to follow me. I'll never give you a reason to be embarrassed about doing that. Is that where you want to be today? Is that who you want to follow? You have that opportunity right now. If you want to become a child of God, you can do that right now. You can be immersed into Christ and receive all the blessings that He has in store for us. All the ones that He's been from the very beginning. Even with Adam and Eve, the promises start all the way to today. We can know those. If you want to become a child today, you can do that. You can begin that walk. But again, if you're struggling with something, you want us to pray with you, man, we would love to do it right now. We'd love as your family to pray with you and for you. But if you have any need this morning for us to help you, we ask you to come right now while we stand and sing together.